Shadevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 16, and I think we're doing text 20 and 21 today. Right? 2021, right? Okay. It's, again, a prose verse, so I'll just chant the Sanskrit, and then do the word-for-word translation. Tavat ubayor api rodasor yamurtika tad rasana nuvidyamana svayu arka samyoga vipakena sadamara lobabaranam jambu nandam nama suvarnam bhavanti yadyuha vava vibudaya buddha vibudhai Daya Saha Yuvatikbir Mukudja Kataka Kati Suradya Bharana Rupena Kalu Darayanti. So, word for word. Tavat entirely. Ubayo api. Of both, Rodaso, of the banks, Ya, which, Mritika, the mud, Tat Rasena, with the juice of the jambu, with the juice of the jambu fruits that flows in the river, Anuvidyamana, being saturated. Vayu arka. Samyoga vipavkena. Because of a chemical reaction with the air and sunshine. Sada. Always. Amara. Loka. Abaranam. Which is used for the ornaments of the demigods, the denizens of the heavenly planets. Jambu, Nadam, Nama, named Jambu Nada. Suvarnam, gold. Bhavati, becomes. Yat, which. Yuhavava, indeed, Vibuddha Adaya, the great demigods, Saha, with Yuvativhi, their everlasting youthful wives, Mukuta, crowns, Kataka, bangles, Kati Sutra, belts, Adi, and so on. Abharana, of all kinds of ornaments. Rupena, in the form. Kalu, indeed. Darayanti, they possess. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. The mud on the banks of the river Jambu Nadi, being moistened by the flowing juice and then dried by the air and the sunshine, produces huge quantities of gold called Jambu Nada. The denizens of heaven use this gold for the various kinds of ornaments. Therefore, all the inhabitants of the heavenly planets and their youthful wives are fully decorated with golden helmets, bangles, and belts, and thus they enjoy life. Purport. By the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the rivers on some planets produce gold on their banks. The poor inhabitants of this earth, because of their incomplete knowledge, are captivated by a so-called Bhagavan who can produce a small quantity of gold. However, it is understood that in a higher planetary system in this material world, the mud on the banks of the Jambu Nadi mixes with jambu juice, reacts with the sunshine in the air, and automatically produces huge quantities of gold. Thus, the men and women are decorated there by various golden ornaments, and they look very nice. Unfortunately, on Earth, there is such a scarcity of gold that the governments of the world try to keep it in reserve and use paper currency. Because that currency is not backed up by gold, the paper they distribute as money is worthless. But nevertheless, the people on Earth are very proud of material advancement. In modern times, girls and ladies have ornaments made of plastic instead of gold, and plastic utensils are used instead of golden ones. Yet people are very proud of their material wealth. Therefore, the people of this age are described as Manda Sumanda Matayo Manda Bhagya Hi Upadruta. In other words, they are extremely bad and slow to understand the opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They have been described as Sumanda Mataya because their conceptions are so crippled that they accept a bluffer who produces a little gold to be God. Because they have no gold in their possession, they are actually poverty-stricken, and therefore they are considered unfortunate. Sometimes these unfortunate people want to be promoted to the heavenly planets to achieve fortunate positions, as described in this verse. But pure devotees of the Lord are not at all interested in such opulence. Indeed, devotees sometimes compare the color of gold to that of bright golden stool. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has instructed devotees not to be allured by golden ornaments and beautifully decorated women. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. A devotee should not be allured by gold, beautiful women, or the prestige of having many followers. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, therefore, confidentially prayed, Mama Jamani Jamanishvare Bhavatad Bhaktir Ahaituki Tvayi. My Lord, please bless me with your devotional service. I do not want anything else. End of quote. A devotee may pray to be delivered from the material world. That is his only aspiration. Ayi Nanda Tanuja Kinkaram Patitam Mam Vishame Bhavam Budau Kripaya Tava Pada Pankaja Shtita Duli Sadrisam Vichintaya. The humble devotee simply prays to the Lord, quote, kindly pick me up from this material world, which is full of varieties of material opulence, and keep me under the shelter of your lotus feet. End of quote. Srila Nartam Das Thakur prays, Haha Prabhu Nanda Sutta Vrishabhanu Sutta Yuta Karuna Karaha E Bara Narottam Das Kaya Na Telibha Rangapaya Toma Vine Ke Ache Amara. O my Lord, O son of Nanda Maharaj, now you are standing before me with your consort, the daughter of Rishabhanu, Srimati Radharani. Kindly accept me as the dust of your lotus feet. Please do not kick me away, for I have no other shelter. End of quote. Similarly, Prabodhananda Sarasvati indicates that the position of the demigods who are decorated with golden helmets and other ornaments is no better than a phantasmagoria, tridasapur akasa pushpayate. A devotee is never allured by such opulences. He simply aspires to become the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gananjana Shalaka Chakshu Ummilitam Jinitas Mai Sri Gurave Namaha Vanchakalpa Thrubhyasya Kripasana Vevita Paritana Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasri Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, we're continuing today, this morning, on the description of Jambudweep, a most opulent circumstance, as we see here in these verses, and so nicely elaborated on by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. It's kind of funny because I think prior before that we were reading The Forest of Enjoyment. And in the course of reading that particular chapter, we saw so many discrepancies in this thought of enjoying the material energy, the material world. And here, after reading the Forest of Enjoyment, now we're getting a description of Jambudweep and how beautiful and lovely circumstance there is in that particular place. And here in the purport, we're reading how there's this the jambu nadi mixes with the jambu juice and it reacts with the sunshine in the air and produces huge quantities of gold. And we know that in this world, as devotees and as non-devotees, the price of gold is always a big concern. How much is the price of an ounce of gold? Everybody's so concerned about this point in all circumstances, regardless of who you are. This material world is being is functioning under the pressure of this opulence of gold. And Prabhupada so nicely describes here that they don't even have enough gold. That asset isn't even really there. So because it's not there, they print this a paper currency. And this is how foolish all of us are, that we're living on this pretense that there is this opulence. And that pretense is actually increased by, you can see, by our assets. What are our assets? And Prabhupada here describes that the ladies, they wear plastic ornaments. We eat off of paper plates. Even sometimes we, even banana leaves. Of course, that's pretty auspicious. It's kind of nice, banana leaves. But really, in the Western culture, we eat off paper plates, plastic utensils. And really, we have no real wealth, no real assets. But we're thinking that we're so modern and we're so advanced. It reminds me, Prabhupada used to say that even a pauper is proud of his penny. So we see that sometimes we do have paupers that come here, very degraded persons who are homeless, and still to try to converse with them, they're so proud of their situation. Can you imagine? They can't even take a bath. They can't even, you know, they wear the same clothes for days, weeks, months, years without bathing, without washing. And still, if you try to discuss with them, they're so proud of their situation. They're thinking they're very philosophical. It reminds me of how, like, when we were in our youth, there were so many things that were alluring us to engage in sinful activity. And when we got intoxicated, we used to pontificate about this material world. And we were so intelligent. We thought we were so bright and so advanced and so knowledgeable, but we were simply intoxicated by some hallucinogen or some alcohol. But we thought we were so powerful and knowledgeable and smart. So this is the illusion of this material world. And this cannot bring us any satisfaction, any happiness whatsoever, no matter how hard we may try. And we do. We try very hard, all of us. We tend to give it all that we have in order to become happy. And regardless of how many failures might occur, we don't give up. We don't give up. Thomas Edison, he's very famous for the experiment that he did to create the light bulb. They said that he failed 10,000 times. before he was able to develop the light bulb. And they asked him, how did he do it? He said, it just finally happened because I did everything that was possible. I failed so many times, there was no possibility of failure anymore. It just had to happen. So we see that that's the mentality of the living entity in the material world. We can fail over and over and over again, unlimited amount of times, but do we give up? No. Even though we may see all around us so many failures, still we're thinking, no, it won't happen to me. We're seeing death, we're seeing illness, and we're thinking, this won't happen to me. We're seeing old age right in front of us. We're seeing people that never used to have a wrinkle have wrinkles. We see people that used to dance very nicely, and they can't dance anymore. We're seeing people being very forgetful. We're seeing people can't even digest even like, you know, a bowl of soup. But we're thinking, no, I'm still going to shoot for sense gratification. And this mentality, this is the pangs of material existence. This is why we suffer. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarva lokam maheshwaram suridam sarva bhutanam gyatvamam santim richati. This is the formula, the secret formula of success. We read that this morning. That is that we should understand that if we see that Krishna, he's the benefactor of everything that we do, of all austerities or sacrifices that we may perform. If we believe that, if we see it, we actually believe it, that Krishna should be the benefactor of whatever I do. And if we see that Krishna, he's the supreme Lord of everything. He's the supreme Lord of this Los Angeles, United States, the world. If we actually see that and believe it, if we truly, truly believe it, that he's the supreme Lord of this universe and even of the demigods, if we see that he's our well-wisher, that Krishna is our well-wisher, he's our best friend. And then he says that the pangs of material existence will dissipate. This is, we'll no longer feel the pangs of material existence. And only then can this actually exist. So, even though we're reading here that there's so many opulences and everyone is so eager to get this type of opulence, but this is the illusion. And under the spell of this illusion, we're trying to be the lords of all that we survey. And we're all responsible for this. We're all guilty of that. We want to control everything around us. Whatever we can see is a very good example. Whatever level of your vision is, you know, wherever you are, you want to make sure you control that situation for your happiness, for our happiness. And you can see that happens in all circumstances, in relationships even. If we have a relationship, we want to control that relationship because we think that's going to make us happy. And we work at it, we work at it, we constantly beat at it. We don't give up. We go and find a book how to figure out how to control that person. There's even a book out that I've seen. It says, how to work with people you can't stand. There's a book out like that. You can buy this book, and it says the technique of how to work with someone you don't like. Why? Because you want to control. How do we control this situation? And this is the illusion of the material world. But we don't realize that we're being dominated by the modes of nature. Goodness, passion, and ignorance. We're completely dominated. And these modes of nature, they're divine. Daivahi esha guna mahima mamaya duratyaya. Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita that this is divine. This is not just ordinary material stuff. You can't overcome this by some material formula. If a material formula will not do it, Although if you go to a bookstore, they have a gazillion books about this formula. But Krishna says it's not possible. And we see that it's not possible. It's absolutely not possible. But because we're so illusioned and attracted by all these opulences, we don't believe it. But the real idea is that one can attain perfect peace only in complete Krishna consciousness. This is the only way. Complete Krishna consciousness. This is the only way that we can surpass the pangs of material existence. There is no other way. And Krishna tells us this over and over again in the Bhagavad Gita. And although we're reading in this particular purport that, you know, these opulences are so wonderful, but what about all the verses prior to this in the forest of material enjoyment, which covered all aspects of what you could possibly dream of being happy? And the Bhagavatam, along with the expert purports of His Divine Grace, demolished the concept of so-called enjoyment. So, in Krishna consciousness, if we work in Krishna consciousness, because Krishna consciousness is actually known as karma yoga also, work in Krishna consciousness. If we work in Krishna consciousness in complete knowledge of Krishna, that Krishna is the supreme proprietor, if we work like that in Krishna consciousness, which we're doing here, we're working together here in the temple to serve Krishna. If we do this work, it's like karma yoga, if we do this work with the understanding that this is for Krishna, this is for His satisfaction, Prabhupada says that is non-different from transcendental knowledge. So you may not be a scholarly person, you may not read very much, but if you're completely absorbed in doing your seva, your service, in complete Krishna consciousness, which means that Krishna is the proprietor, He's my best friend, He's the well-wisher, He's the Supreme Lord. If we do that work in that fashion, in Krishna consciousness, it's none different than having transcendental knowledge. That's equal. They're equal. And when you have this transcendental knowledge, one can actually surpass the pangs of material existence. So this is really the science of Krishna consciousness. And we can see that practically. Because the more we become advanced in Krishna consciousness, the less we feel the pangs of this material world. The less we want the material world, the less we want opulences of this particular caliber. Because to someone who's not Krishna conscious, when reading about these type of opulences, it's very attractive. It's mesmerizing. Who doesn't want gold? If someone reads this as not a devotee, they say, wow, where is that place? How do I get to that place where they mix this juice with the air and the sunshine? And they have gold. Well, how could I get there? And we see that in the material world, this desire, this lust, is so powerful. It's so powerful that you know, they develop cities for this. Like, look at Las Vegas. That city is formulated for development of complete lust, for enjoyment. The dream of anyone that lives like... I remember when I was still living in the material world as non-devotee, it was not unusual to hear someone say that they really can't wait. They'd like to save their money, and if they had one place they'd love to go, it was Las Vegas. They really wanted to go to Las Vegas so they could gamble a little bit. Just to gamble. Have a few drinks. See a show. And they would think that that was the epitome of existence. Now, we may think that's very shallow, but don't be surprised. This is reality. I mean, I'm sure you've met people like that. I'm sure you have. That they think that this is the essence of life. And if you in some way or other are negative about it, they really become upset at you. If you tell them that's nonsense, they'll look at you. They'll go, wow, what's the matter with you? You don't know how to have fun. So this is the illusion. So Krishna says, Sri Bhagavan Vacha Kama Esha Krodha Esha Rajaguna Samud Bhava. That's lust. It's lust. It's very deep. It's very powerful. It's the all-devouring, sinful enemy of the living entity. It's all-devouring. It's so powerful. And especially if it's mixed with passion. If we allow passion to become involved, then this mixture, it's lethal. It's lethal for our advancement in Krishna consciousness. And we see here, it's very lethal in terms of this purport. And if we come in contact with things of this nature, automatically we become bewildered. Papa says that when we come in contact with this material creation as living entities, as souls, when we come in contact with this material creation, our eternal love for Krishna is transformed into lust. So you can see the more that we allow ourselves to come in contact with this material energy, the more your lust becomes exhibited. And Prabhupada said that he gives the example of how, like milk, if you mix tamarind with milk, you can create yogurt. It's a transformation. So our love for Krishna, it's originally pure. But when we come in contact with this material energy, it becomes transformed into lust by the association of passion. And we see this whole world, it's engrossed in passion. You know that. You hear the interstate. You go outside at like about, you know, what is it, 7 a.m.? Even earlier than that, but really it starts really cranking like 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning. And you just hear the constant millions of cars just absorbed, going at breakneck speed in this passion to satisfy their lust. And that lust is an extension of so many things. Family, friends, country, society. And we see that the more they contact themselves with that, with those activities, the deeper and deeper their lusty activities are becoming entrenched. So we see that we have to change our attitude. We as devotees, we must see the importance of our service to Krishna, even though we may not consider ourselves to be very knowledgeable. But one thing that we should become completely convinced about is this service, this devotional service to Krishna. If we just surrender ourselves, give ourselves, that is transcendental knowledge. Because then we see that Krishna is the supreme proprietor. I want to serve Krishna. I want to please Krishna. And in the beginning that may be difficult, but then it's also important to serve the pure devotee of the Lord. Because that is non-different. The pure devotee of the Lord is a servitor God. He's non-different. He's given the same respect as the supreme Lord. Because he's a servitor God. If we serve him and give our life to him, surrender to his lotus feet, then we're actually pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If we accept the mission of the pure devotee of the Lord, that is the mission of the Supreme Lord. And we know that Srila Prabhupada, he wanted to spread this Krishna conscious movement through this transcendental knowledge. So how important is this knowledge? In the purport, Prabhupada describes about a charlatan guru who can create a little bit of gold in his hand to think he's Bhagavan. Now, how can you determine if he's Bhagavan or not? It's by Shastra. So how important is it that we distribute this transcendental knowledge to the ignorant masses of people who will become bewildered and confused by these so-called opulences? You know, he can create a little bit of gold. So what? There's planets where they go just profusely. And if you want to go there, I suppose you can dig deep into the Vedas and you can find that place. But until you come to that particular point where you ask Atato Brahma Jignasa, who am I? We need to ask that question. That is the beginning. That's the beginning. But to keep it ongoing, we have to become absorbed in our devotional service. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, in the beginning, when Krishna was speaking to Arjuna, he was saying no to everything. Oh, I can't. No, I can't. He had so many excuses. He had an excuse for everything that Krishna was telling him to do. No, 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 no. It's kind of like us. Until in the end he said yes. So he became a yes man. Arjuna became a yes man. So we're also like that. We're no, 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 no. No, I can't. No, I can't. No. Impossible. No, no, don't do that. Don't tell me. Until we become yes men and ladies, we'll never understand. This is what Krishna consciousness means. We're going to become yes men and women. Yes. And when Krishna was speaking to Arjuna finally said, yes, he became a yes man. And what happened? He was able to defeat so many problems and difficulties. He fought so valiantly and he became so empowered that people that he could defeat before or during the Kurukshetra war, afterwards he couldn't. Krishna left. He lost everything. He was trying to protect Krishna's wives and he got defeated just by some dacoits. So when we become yes men and ladies, we become empowered to serve Krishna. And this is transcendental knowledge. And this is really what Krishna consciousness is meant to be. Krishna consciousness is meant that we become yes people, yes devotees, not no devotees. You know what? This is not about no. No, I can't. No, I won't. No, I don't feel like it. That's not Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness, yes, I can. Yes, I will. Yes, I can do it. This is actually Krishna consciousness. And this isn't some false rally or rah-rah. This is not what this is. This is actually genuine. To be a yes devotee. To serve Krishna's mission. And if we do this, then we'll see that we'll develop this transcendental knowledge. You know, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Priyojita Janana Yasya Vairagyam Gyanam Chayad Ahaitukam. That if we serve Krishna in his devotional service, then we'll have transcendental knowledge and detachment. It comes automatically. It'll just come. We won't have to think of it. Oh, should I be renounced? Let me eat 8 chickpeas or whatever. Oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take a cold shower every time I have a desire for sex. No, 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 no. These are all temporary. These are like band-aids. If we simply absorb ourselves in the service of Krishna, you'll develop transcendental knowledge. You'll develop vairagya, renunciation. But one has to be completely convinced. This is the key element. Completely convinced that Krishna is your best friend. That Krishna is the Supreme Lord, the benefactor, well-wisher. That's what it takes. That is the science. And become a yes man or yes woman. And then we'll become freed from these pangs of material desires. And when we read about opulences like this, they mean nothing. And then we can understand Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Prabhupada quoted these wonderful verses from Sri Shastaka by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How could he say these things unless he was freed from the pangs of material existence and fully absorbed in complete absorption in the Supreme Lord and devotional service? So that is our key element. And if we give that up, if we give up our service, or if we belittle our service, or we discourage someone from doing that service, can you imagine the damage that we're doing to others and to ourselves? Can you imagine if we discourage someone from doing their devotional service, belittle them, take it away from them? And if we don't even encourage someone, if we don't go up to them and tell them, please, Prabhu, engage in service, And this is why book distribution is so wonderful. Because when you go out in Sankirtan, book distribution, you're giving someone an opportunity to do service. They read and they give a donation. What can be greater than that? They're actually so conditioned, simply absorbed in sense gratification, and you're there and you engage that individual in service to Krishna right on the spot by an exchange. They might even say the holy name. They may touch the book. They may give you a donation. They may even read one sentence. And we're engaging them in Krishna's service. And that is their liberation. That is their path to liberation. And they'll be rewarded again. So, yes, I got carried away. Sorry. So, here we see that the real art, the real science of Krishna consciousness is to be absorbed in our devotional service. This is the key element. So let us never give up our service to this mission of Krishna consciousness and become yes devotees. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.